It's a lovely cell that me mother sent to me. Well, it's many a day I travel 100 miles.
Who wants drunken nights when you can be eating? And we're not talking about eating right now. We are talking about dining, because with me, two of Atlanta, and I should say the nation's finest chefs, we have Chef Dwayne Nutter and Chef Todd Richards. Welcome.
Thank you for having me.
Yes, oh, it's a pleasure.
This is so exciting. Now, you're here to help us kick off the excitement for the Atlanta Food and Wine Festival, which has a special theme of roots this year. So let's talk Southern.
Okay.
Dwayne, I guess you should go first because you were born in Louisiana. Todd, like me, is a Chicagoan, but he came South.
Yes, so. He did. He came to the light. Yes, I was born in Louisiana and moved to Seattle when I was around 7 years old.
That is not the South.
No, it's not. Mm-hmm. It is not. It was cold. It had snow. I talked funny.
Wait, I thought that Todd was from Chicago.
So when I got there, I was a new guy. So, and went to cooking school and all that good stuff and moved down South to work under someone I saw on TV when I was in high school.
Who is that?
His name was Daryl Evans.
Okay. And Todd?
Yeah, I'm a Chicagoan, but I've been down here since 91. You know, I know it got a bad rap at that time, but I'm a freaknik baby. You know, I came down for
a
party.
Oh, my goodness.
And just never left, you know, and I've been celebrating being here ever since.
Oh, my goodness. A blast from the past. I imagine we have many listeners who did not know about freaknik. But I'm glad you stayed, and I'm glad you're not still stuck in traffic.
Right, you know.
Because even 24 years ago,
I mean, you know. Traffic was bad, you know.
This could be a problem. Well, Chef Dwayne, what is Southern National Cuisine?
What is Southern National? You know, I really don't know.
You coined the phrase. Now,
I coined the phrase. Yes, it's a culmination of digging back into your past and your future as you think about what you're doing as a chef. And that's the way I labeled and figured out what to do at the restaurant I'm at. It was One Flew South.
Yes.
It's on the International Concourse.
I've been.
So I felt it was my responsibility to bring the entire Southeast to the world. And that's where the term came from.
And so what do you showcase? I mean, I'm thinking you have people maybe with a two-hour layover. And they
yes, there's a few with a two-hour layover. There's a few that have not even looked at their watch.
Yeah, and they want to, and they better get ready because it could be a 12-hour layover. Unlike the freaknik traffic, which, you know, you still may experience after 24 years, Todd, or have nightmares about, I imagine. But what is quintessentially Southern that you like to present to travelers who may be passing through from another continent?
Ooh, quintessential. Quintessential. There's always a grit rotation. I'm a big fan of grits. There's always some sort of grit thing going on. I kind of alternate from season to season of what I'm going to do with grits. Because there's still people up in Boston and whatnot like, what is this stuff?
I know. When I moved down here, I thought it was like cream of wheat and I put sugar on it. And the person who was, the person sitting with me nearly fainted when she saw what I did. What? I did not know. So we have grits and then, you know, not so far away is polenta in Italy.
Right.
Yes.
Greece. Same with kale and greens, you know, in that same family.
We're finding this commonality. Todd, we used to think that food separated us. Now it seems food unites us, or certainly has
I would agree
potential.
With that.
Yeah, 100%. 100%. People get more a little educated about where food comes from and how it's grown and all of that good stuff. You're starting to see the same things in the same equator belt. Kind of can grow in the same areas.
Yeah.
And then you see the similarities.
And what about the whole idea of food as art. I know, Todd, this is a very important concept for you. Why is presentation so important?
I believe that there's a, as an artist, you know, food is a landscape and it's a tool that you can use to express yourself. And it's the most sincere form of expression because it's so temporary in design. And we're open to so many different factors that are out of control. Meaning, you know, if you had carrots this year, you may not have carrots, the same carrots next year. We had a wonderful chanterelle mushroom season last year. They were plentiful. They were everywhere. This year in Atlanta, no one really has chanterelle mushrooms. So we have a lot of factors that distinguish us differently than, you know, musical artists or visual artists. You know, in the art where you can record things, you can see things over and over again. Our plates, you can take a picture of it, but you can't smell it or you can't taste it. You know, I am working on trying to get that smell of vision down, you know, and that hearing vision down. So, you know, you can smell it on TV, you know, because I think that's the next step, you know, and it sounds funny, like a food replicator off of Star Trek. But really, you know, that's how you have to capture it. You only capture food in that moment that it's being served. And so we are artists, but we're kind of, you know, crazy too, because we work long hours to put this on a plate and then it all disappears right in front of our eyes.
This is such an interesting point you're making. I know that often visual artists talk about how much they prefer that their art remains, that it doesn't take place in time, like with music or theater. Mm-hmm. But your art, we're talking about within a matter of minutes, and it's gone.
I mean, in a matter of minutes, and you know, if you look at it, you know, in a matter of seconds, that temperature, you know, dissipates from it. You know, so the way it was when it was on the plate at that point in time, at that temperature, where the skin of a fish has to be absolutely crispy, that if it's not served at that point in time, the skin becomes soft, and so the experience for the guest is not the same.
But I would think for you as the artist, the potential for being devastated is tremendous, because if you say the skin isn't just right or something is slightly off in that moment, in that second before you present it, then, you know, do you want to get back into bed?
That's what separates the great ones, you know, from everyone else, because we factor all those things into consideration. We look at how to perfect the unknown. Mm. And, you know, and really, you know, we're having a discussion about Southern food. Southern food is really the perfection of the unknown, where people don't understand that biscuits are the most temperamental, you know, thing that you can ever make. Well, if you roll it too much, you know, if you fold a biscuit dough over two times more than it comes, it builds up the gluten, so the biscuit's going to be tough. You might as well just go ahead and bake it off and make breadcrumbs with it, you know.
Who knew?
Yeah, right. So it's really that temperamental. And so Southern food really has that, you know, that niche. You know, you look at buttermilk, how, you know, it has to be made properly or it'll separate. The way we harvest things, you know, in Georgia, it's a lot of red clay, so we have a lot more minerality to deal with and things like that.
So you're bringing in the science along with the art. It's really a multi-layered
way. Well, that's the roots of Southern cooking. Southern cooking is way more sophisticated than I think the country at one point in time gave you know, the South credit for.
Indeed. Chef Todd Richards, Chef Dwayne Nutter will be back in a moment. Right. You're listening to City Lights, a delicious edition of City Lights here on WABE Atlanta. Back with to have Dwayne Nutter and Todd Richards. We were talking about the art and presentation of food. Things go in trends, and I remember feeling very unimpressed with those gigantic plates.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like in the 80s, those gigantic plates that had like a souffle the size of a scallop on it.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think?
What was going on with that?
Well, I think it was, well, no, I better not say it. It was at a very fancy schmancy hotel chain dining room, but maybe that was the 80s. I mean, how do you feel about trends in presentation?
Who's going to go first?
I can go first. the great ones, especially a lot of the chefs, you know, at Atlanta Food and Wine, you know, we are trendsetters. We don't necessarily follow trends. We do appreciate, you know, the new things that people are doing and new techniques that they bring about. But there has to be something about yourself that you keep, you know, progressing throughout the ages. You know, the chef that we worked for together, you know, Daryl Evans, you know, he really impressed upon us that you had to find your own identity and stick to your identity. And though Dwayne and I are very similar, you know, in our view of Southern food, we are actually strikingly different in our presentations and views. But we, you know, look to be trendsetters, not trend followers. And during that time of the 80s, I think that there was a lot of people looking to be trendsetters and really wanted to have a longer experience. You have to understand that also during that time, you know, the world was in a lot of excess. You know, it was a lot of excess.
Yes,
you know.
Except on those big plates.
Right.
Because I was very hungry after that special dinner.
Around that time.
Well, that's the part of being an artist, too, is that, you know, I believe at that point in time, we forgot about the customer. We only thought about ourselves.
So that was, yeah, that wretched excess real estate and, oh, yes, all of that stuff from the 80s. So now we've been through devastation and economic collapse, and now we have gotten back to a much more basic reason. Or I guess I should say the true reason of appreciating food for the nourishment, the conviviality, the unifying experience of it all. In terms of influences, I'm also curious because you mentioned Daryl Evans and Dwayne. I know that you said your mother was the greatest cook you ever knew.
Yeah, yes.
How did she influence you?
Oh, the whipping up of something out of nothing.
Ah.
Because we didn't have much. She was a hospice nurse, emergency room nurse before I came along. And, you know, had that 3-11 shift. So there was a thing she would teach me how to cook. You know, I remember my first Teflon pan. I thought that was weird. And
that was during the Reagan press, the
yes,
Teflon
well,
presidency.
You know, when we had Tang commercials and we was going in the space shuttle, you know, and we got rid of the rocket. So it was all some new stuff came down from NASA. So I was just flipping eggs to be flipping eggs, man, and making sandwiches. And I remember when she showed me how to make red beans and rice.
The Louisiana.
Yeah, that was the deal sealer right there because I love me some beans and rice.
Do you still serve them?
Yeah, you know, not at the restaurant. I kind of keep that for myself, you know.
Now, I bet many listeners want to know this. What do you eat at home?
You know, it's funny. My garbage can looks more like a sports bar than it does actually.
Yeah.
But in all honesty, though, I grow a tremendous amount of food at home for the family. So we eat a lot out of the garden. We buy, you know, proteins, and we just basically just eat from there.
A very healthy family you have.
Yes. Well, we're not always that healthy, but, I mean, it's just really exciting to go outside and be able to cut broccoli flowers and tomatoes and basil and, you know, grow eggplants and watch potatoes grow, you know, and a home in an urban setting. I think that's really just remarkable, and really you understand how delicious food really is.
And urban gardening has really caught on. I mean,
I would definitely agree. Currently, we have about 20 pots and 3 beds, you know, in a home in Old Fourth Ward, you know. And so we grow a tremendous amount of food. And you see how the landscape changes, how the bees come when, you know, wisteria comes and everything like that. So it's a lot of fun.
Well, you know, I was thinking about how readily available so much is for us in grocery stores. I mean, with strawberries year-round, everything is practically everything is available year-round. And this is something that gives you nightmares and would make you faint if you weren't sitting in front of the microphone, right? That is just a horrid thought for you. Why?
Well, one thing is that food, there's a lot more people on Earth than it was before. And really, people are going back to the southern roots. And I think it's instinctively also. I think people actually see what's happening around the world. And they're seeing that food can become scarce. You look at, you know, California and their droughts, you know, which supplies a great amount of food for the country.
Serious.
You know, and so I think instinctively, we just look at how can we, you know, grow our own food? How can we be closer to the earth? How can we make this world better? Because there's so many more people, and we have to do so. We have to look at how we're going to feed everyone.
And what, you know, what it takes to import, not to mention the exploitation of the people who are picking those fruits and vegetables.
I would agree.
Huge, huge concerns. Delighted to be talking with celebrity chefs. Fine chefs.
Word?
Todd Richards and Wayne Nutter. We'll talk more about that in a moment on
celebrity
City
chef.
Lights during WABE Atlanta. So, chefs Dwayne Nutter, Todd Richards, we know food is art and you are artists. What do you think of the celebrity chef phenomenon?
It's gotten a little out of hand, I think.
You think?
Yeah.
Why?
There's folks that's running around saying they're celebrity chefs, but they don't run a kitchen.
Aha.
It's a... The word chef is one thing, and then the word celebrity is another thing.
So it's gone very corporate.
It's gone very corporate. So I think there's two types of chefs now, or maybe three or four. But there's that television personality, and then there's that business of operating your business for your customers.
Mm. So you are still hands-on.
Yeah.
Yeah, I get it.
More than I would like.
And that's why you've won that James Beard Award and those wonderful awards. Todd, do you think there's just a whole lot of vanity, or is it long overdue? I mean, all other artists are recognized and made. Actors are celebrities. Why shouldn't you be?
I believe you can be a celebrity chef if you still are a chef. I think that if you're no longer in the kitchen, no longer in your restaurants at a given time of the year, then you should just call yourself a celebrity or personality. I believe it still requires cooking and more so mentoring and bringing about the next generation of cooks and chefs in order to have that title. Once you remove yourself out of that and become a personality, then I think that where the line gets blurred. And the reason why it's so important to make that distinguish is that we have a group of cooks coming up now that all they see is being on television. All they see is the glitz and glam.
Mm-hmm.
But they, you know, if they came into our kitchen and work, you know, 10, 12 hours, you know, or go to get out the kitchen at 1 in the morning on Saturday and do brunch, you know, back at 7 in the morning on Sunday. Then, you know, what dues have you paid in order to get to that realm of being a celebrity chef? And most importantly, if you're going to be a chef, you have to serve delicious food.
Ah, yes. Have there ever been moments when restaurant patrons have just made your day? I've never said, please bring me the chef to a server, although I've been tempted. But have you ever been asked to appear and had some amazing compliment?
I think both positively and negatively.
Oh dear!
You know, we've
we get them all.
We've experienced things. It really keeps you centered and humble. You know, in both regards. I think the most positive experience, though, is seeing my dad come into the kitchen and produce red beans and rice. You know, they're strikingly different between my dad's and Dwayne's mom's red beans and rice. I've been fortunate enough to have both. And so when my dad decides he wants to cook it at the restaurant, and he comes out, and he's 78, and he's been in the kitchen all day, and people enjoy seeing him, you know, do what he does, you know, in the kitchen, that's satisfaction for me.
Oh, wow. How do your red beans and rice differ? Are yours more Cajun?
No, I think maybe a little more creamy.
Creamy?
I would agree with that.
Yeah, okay. Cook the beans a little longer.
Yeah,
I would definitely agree with that. Longer and kind of mash them on the side of the pot.
So this is not Chicago versus Louisiana, right?
Oh, no. This is all regional. It's what you did in your neighborhood.
And I think your mom does more sausage, right?
Yeah, she'll do sausage. Yeah. Or it's really what kind of protein we have.
Really. So the upcoming Atlanta Food and Wine Festival, what will your grand events entail?
Oh, I guess my grandest, I'll be doing a pairing with Pappy Van Winkle and the crew. I think that is Sunday, I believe. And I also have a pop-up lunch with John Kearns and Sean Doty.
You're free to pop up here for lunch anytime. I will not thaw my Weight Watchers frozen dinner.
You go, girl.
Todd, what have you got?
I am doing a dinner with Matt and Ted Lee out of Charleston and New York, respectively, the Lee brothers. And then I'm doing a class on urban gardening, sipping, and entertaining at home.
Oh. Sipping. Lots of bubbles.
Sipping. Yes. I love it.
Well, we got to go see Dwayne first to get some Pappy Van Winkle first.
Talk about seeing Dwayne. You do stand-up, I've heard.
Oh, I dibble-dabble in the other arts of... I'm the chef that don't smoke cigarettes, so I just talk about people.
I love it. So, listening, thinking about all of the emphasis on growing your own food and healthy dining and savoring the food experience, have either of you ever met the First Lady?
Oh, no.
No, but that's on my bucket list.
That is on my bucket list.
Yeah.
I'm going to leave Barack somewhere, but I'm going to meet her.
Listen to you. Maybe we could bring her down for the Atlanta Food and Wine Festival, or you should just cook for her.
Yeah,
that would be
show
nice.
Show her your gardens. I don't want to let you go.
Well, this duty calls.
Indeed, but this has been a scrumptious experience, and I mean it. Ooh. Best of luck, chefs Todd Richards, Dwayne Nutter. Wonderful things ahead. More information about them online, wabe.org. You're listening to City Lights. We'll check in with Atlanta Planet's Kimberly Harbrecht now.